Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. In a culinary world dominated by stiffly starched white aprons, Chef Renee Sharoff's background in the beauty world has given her what every innovative chef needs, a sense of spice and a pop of color. Chef Sharoff is professionally trained by the Connecticut Culinary Institute and has worked in kitchens around the world. She's also a former pastry chef for Western Massachusetts' acclaimed Federal Restaurant. Her faith in Christ has made a difference to her success. And that's why we pause for a moment at the beginning of every program, even this one, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Show is to bring you closer and closer to Christ, for you to know Him, for you to know His love and the grace of God that abounds in knowing Him, even as Chef Sharoff has experienced in her own life. The love of God, that God loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ calls you today, even as He has called our dear celebrity chef, who we have in studio with us from Boston, to be with you today. Renee Sharoff launched Blonde on the Run, offering catering services for fabulous parties, large and small, home chef services for private clients, and even clever a la carte gifts for foodie friends, like adorable vintage picnic baskets that are perfect for romantic escapes and girls-only getaways alike. She's also CEO and co-founder of The Gathering magazine. We welcome her by phone. Chef Renee, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Connecticut, you grew up there. Tell us where and what was it like growing up there in Connecticut?
I grew up on a non-working farm, meaning that we didn't make, my family didn't make its living work farming. And I grew up in the historical area of Connecticut, lots of fields and some rolling hills. And it was actually, my childhood was quite lovely in Connecticut. It was beautiful.
Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
That would definitely be my parents, definitely spiritually anyways. So,
in what way, Renee?
My dad was a great, both my parents and my dad in particular, as children, he would say, if to him say, we can't do this, he would always say, well, why can't you? Give me a reason. And he would make us give him reasons why couldn't we do this? And then he would turn around and tell us, that's not true. You can do it. You can do it this way. So he was a very positive role model, and my mom as well. And they were great parents. So I'm very blessed to have them.
Sounds like he instilled in you a sense of the possible. With God, all things are possible.
Definitely.
Everything
absolutely
is possible, Jesus said to him who believes.
That's
and
right.
Your dad, he really got his message across to you. You're living a life of great faith, and a lot has materialized as a result of that.
That's true.
Now, in addition to your training at the Connecticut Culinary Institute, you also studied at New York City's esteemed Fashion Institute of Technology.
That's right.
You pursued a career in design, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I worked for a Japanese designer, fashion designer, in West Hartford, Connecticut, about 20 minutes from where I grew up. And, I had an exciting chapter in my life dedicated to fashion and traveling and all the excitement that brings.
Now, how about your mom? How does your mother relate with your interests and even your pursuit in fashion?
My mom was a model and owned an agency, a modeling agency, when I was growing up. And so I was heavily influenced by that. I was a child model. I was always surrounded by lots of good food and fashion and fashionable parties. So there's where my love of food and, fabric and fashion came from.
Well, there, you said it. I read that you traded fabric for food.
Yes. That's
yes. So
it's true.
What did you mean by that?
I meant it's not that big of a leap. It's not that big of a stretch, right? So when you're working in the fashion industry, you're working with fabric and threads and colors and textures. And so in the culinary field, it's the same, except instead of fabrics and buttons and trims, you're working with food. So you're working with, vegetables and meats and colors and oils and spices. So it was a easy transition for me.
Now, I also read that you love to take classic concepts and then put a cheeky spin on them.
Yeah, it's true.
How did the creative flair, this creative flair, emerge from you?
I grew up in a very creative home. Both my parents were musically gifted artists, musicians, and so it was instilled and nurtured. There's four kids in my family. I have two sisters. Well, there's four of us all together. There's three girls and one boy. And we just grew up in a very creative home that was fostered at an early age and encouraged. And the older you get, you find your own outlet for creativity. And so you just expand upon that. And my family was very nurturing and encouraging and always said, you can do whatever you want, So I'm very, very grateful.
It says a lot.
Stood behind me.
It says a lot about a positive, reinforcing a home life.
I'm very, very grateful.
Product of that. Your faith journey. Share with us how you became a follower of Christ.
Wow. I was born into a non-Christian home. There was Christian belief. My mom had me when she was very young. That was her. She had a first marriage, and I was born from that first marriage. And unfortunately, my father, had a drinking problem. And a few years after, they divorced, and my mom was not a Christian at the time. Then she entered into another marriage, marriage number two, and that was not successful. And by the time I would say about 9 or 10, she met God, and she became a Christian, which I'm so grateful for. And she met my stepfather, who I've always called Dad because he's the one that raised me. So God brought him, I'd like to say, into both of our lives. And sort of the rest is history. They got married and they served the Lord together. And then my siblings came. So I'm really, really grateful that God, I started out on one path that was not so great. and God's love and mercy was bestowed upon me, and I entered into a whole other life.
How did you reflect on it? As you reflect on it, what feelings does that new reality, reflecting on that new reality, what does it instill in you?
Oh, goodness. At first, it was difficult, you know, as a child, a product from divorce, it was very difficult. But with, you know, good parenting and God, and I don't know, each year I became more grateful. And you just, through your difficulties, right, you see the hand of God when you look over your shoulder. I always like to use that. Because sometimes we can't see our journey where we are, and mm-hmm. you literally have to take a moment to pause and look over your shoulder and see how far you've come.
When we think about the discovery, a self-discovery, what age did you discover this passion for food?
Oh, for food. Well, that's a funny story, because if you ask any of my family members, they will tell you I couldn't boil water, which is absolutely 100% true. So that I'm even in this profession is a miracle. I love to bake. My mom and my grandmother and my great-grandmother were all fabulous cooks, and I spent a lot of time in the kitchen with them. That was their way of showing love. They had big gardens. They canned, they made homemade bread, they made everything from scratch. And so hanging out in the kitchen with them, I learned to bake, and I love to bake. So I just decided to give cooking, you know, a closer look, and started having some dinner parties and inviting people over, and they encouraged me. They said, this meal was good, Renee. Your party was nice. You should explore this. So I did.
You got positive reinforcement right away.
Yeah.
Now, that's one thing, to do it, to enjoy it. It's quite another thing to conjure up an idea to turn it into a business. How did that happen?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. You know, when I graduated from culinary school, like many students, right, whatever field you enter into, most students realize quickly that your pay scale was very low, right? So mm-hmm. you go to school with these dreams, ambitions, and ideas, and then you realize very soon after that you're not hitting your goals and your marks where you thought you would. And I just had all these ideas and things that I wanted to do. And I had a great business mentor who let me go out on my own and give me the room to grow and, sort of just help me. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, as you listen to Chef Renee Sharoff talk about her family, the positive influences her parents have had on her, the environment they created, with great encouragement, encouraging, inspiring creativity. Sounds like a real safe place, even to try things and maybe even fail from time to time. Now she's a business owner. She's the founder, the owner of Blonde on the Run. In fact, you can find out more about her and her business, Blonde on the Run, at blondeontherun.com. When we come back from our break, I wonder, as you listen to her share her journey, and by the way, there's a lot more to it. We'll get into it. But how do you take an idea? How do you take an interest? Maybe something that you think, well, it'll be a good hobby. But then you realize there are certain things in your life that need to be changed because you aren't making the financial marks that you hope to make. When we come back, Chef Renee Sharoff will share her story about Blonde on the Run. When we come back, stay with us. You don't want to miss this.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Thank you for joining us for The Good Life. This program is possible only with the support of generous listeners like you. Would you consider going to thegoodlifehawaii.com and making a donation?
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the question has to be asked from time to time, why? Why do I have to do everything the way everyone else has always been doing it? You know, the world has developed with certain kinds of innovations because people have had the courage, the guts, to try things that others have not tried, or to put together some combinations that others have not yet put together. For example, someone who loves fashion and has a fashion background, and food. Well, I'm speaking of none other than Chef Renee Sharoff. She is the founder and owner of Blonde on the Run. You can find out more about Blonde on the Run at blondeontherun.com. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. It's a blessing that you're here. We're having a heart-to-heart time of sharing. Yes, sharing with you together with Chef Renee. Chef Renee, take us back. When did the idea come to you to start a business from Connecticut, which is now known as Blonde on the Run?
Yeah, as long as I can remember, I always had an entrepreneurial spirit. Even as a child, I remember being 8 or 9, going around my neighborhood and selling things, selling jewelry from my mom, her jewelry box, shoveling snow, lemonade stands, you name it, I always did it. And I was one of those goofy kids who wanted to, you know, in my playtime, I was a business owner. So I don't know, it's kind of goofy, but yay to all the kid entrepreneurs out there. That's what they're playing in their playtime. They're sitting behind a desk. I remember sitting behind a desk in my playroom pretending I owned a business.
Hmm. Now, what challenges have you faced, or have you had challenges in living the life of an entrepreneur?
No, everything's been perfectly smooth and wonderful.
Smooth sailing all the way, right?
Of course, smooth sailing. Oh, goodness. Wow. Where do I begin? You know, I started out in this business ideas and goals and, you know, things that I wanted to accomplish. And I did. When I first started, I had a business partner. She was my best friend. She was like a sister to me. And the things, we decided to move from Connecticut to Boston. Connecticut was, you know, the town I grew up in had a lot of money, but it was sort of old money. Mm-hmm. And for my business to be successful, I needed to be in a younger, hipper, more, you know, disposable income area. So I decided with some prayer and, you know, just research, decided to move to Boston. So we moved to Boston and, you know, a brand new city, a brand new business. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a church yet. And, you know, there was a lot of difficulties trying to support, you know, a rent in a high city, you know, high income, high cost city living there, and all the struggles that ensue with trying to make your dreams come true, right? It's a lot of hard mm-hmm. work.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up parting ways. It was one of the most painful experiences of my life. You know, just things went awry as soon as we got here, and things turned upside down, basically. and she decided to leave the business without explanation. So it was very, very difficult. She was my best friend, and we had been friends for about 15 years. But I think we were just sort of growing and going in different areas, right? And I wanted and saw things one way, and she saw them another. So that was one of the most difficult times. Again, moving to a new area, not knowing anyone, and just having literally the bottom fall out from my world. Mm-hmm.
So when the bottom fell out of your world, because someone listening today is feeling like the bottom is falling out of their world, or it has fallen out of their world, what did you do? How did you respond to being at that place?
Well, if I can be quite honest, for about 6 months, I'm very honest. I would go to bed crying and I would wake up crying. I remember just getting into bed at the end of the night and I would cry myself to sleep, and I would wake up in the morning, and as I would open my eyes, I would notice that I would feel the tears running down, and I would think, oh goodness, I'm alive, or, you know, are you kidding? I woke up today. And this went on for about 6 months. I was just, you know, so heartbroken, and just, I couldn't figure my way. I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I would call my mom, my poor mother, my poor parents, every day. And I would just be, you know, literally just crying every day. And when I say I went to bed crying and woke up crying every day, that is no exaggeration. That is 100% honest and true. Mm. And my mom would pray for me every single, I probably spoke to her, I don't know, maybe twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And she would just encourage me in the Lord. And she would pray with me, and she would remind me and speak the word of God over my life. And encourage me. And so I would make it, you know, the next few hours till I fell into bed. I would cry myself to sleep. And honestly, this went on for about 6 months, and until the word of God was so built up in me. And I just knew that I was going to make it through. There comes a turning point where you just get a hold of the word that's being spoken over your life, and you start to walk in it and start to live it. Now, so that was a definite turning point.
Were you still in the business when the bottom fell out? Were you?
Yeah, I was
still
trying,
going to work. And...
You know, I was trying to work. Business was very, very scarce. I actually had to go out and get a part-time job. I was waitressing in the north end of Boston. And, you know, it was hard. My pride took a big hit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've graduated from these fancy schools. I had this fancy training. I did my externship abroad in Dublin, Ireland. And, you know, I had all these accolades and all these things. And the bottom was falling out of my world. And I had to humble myself and literally go get a waitress job. And I waitressed a couple nights a week. Goodness, I probably did that for two and a half years. And I would try to run my business during the day, and then I would waitress, you know, a couple days a week. It was really, really tough.
Renee, I appreciate your candor. This level of transparency, I know it takes a great deal of grace and generosity, of which you abound. But I sense that it's touching someone because someone is feeling, as they listen to you, a dear listener of ours, feeling like, wow, she's at the top of her game now, but she can relate with me. She knows what I feel like, what I'm going through even now. Perhaps someone who's listening wouldn't share what they're feeling or going through. But there's a liberty that's taking place within their own hearts because you're sharing your experience. What lessons did God teach you during this time?
Wow. He taught me to stand on his word, quite frankly, and that faith without works is dead, right? So that he's given us all the same measure of faith, and he's no respecter of persons. So if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. And so he taught me to hold on to my tenacity, to persevere, and through, my faith and my works, that he was going to bless the efforts of my hands. Wow. And he has.
Okay, so, you know, you talk about waitressing for 2.5 years or thereabouts. Of course, the contrast of your exquisite training and then,
right.
working where you were working. In that process, did you ever experience self-doubt?
Of course. You wake up every day thinking, Lord, where are you? Is this ever going to change? Would be months, days on end, weeks on end, months on end, and I would think, I cannot see the light. Mm. Is this all I'm created to do, God? I know that you have a bigger purpose for me. But I think, I needed to experience these things. I needed to know that God was for me, and if God is for me, that no one can be against me. And I knew that if I held on to his word and I persevered and I worked hard and I prayed, and literally when I tell people, I talk about my story, I say it was blood, sweat, and tears. And absolutely all three of those things. I mean, I cried a lot. I bled a lot. My heart bled a lot. If you've ever worked in a professional kitchen, you will understand the blood, sweat, and the tears. And I gained so much strength through all those hard times and that adversity, that there is one thing, sometimes I doubt certain things, but that is one thing I never doubt. God has proven his word in my life over and over and over again. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for it.
On this side of things, having endured, there's that scripture that talks about, let endurance have its perfect result. And
right.
the course of time through perseverance, you speak with clarity, you speak with a sense, there's a gravity to the boldness that can't be short-circuited. It's something that you have to live through. It's someone today, dear friend, as you listen to Chef Rene, I wonder if you ever experience your own self-doubt, and if you are, you're probably thinking, even as I have in my life at times, when is it going to end? It seems like one thing is heaping on to the next, and then when I'm already down, something else happens, and I can barely breathe, and then I'm underwater again. If that's how you feel, if you feel like you're going into it or you're slowly coming out of it, when we come back, I'm going to ask if Chef Rene Sharoff could speak directly to you, dear friend, almost like you're sitting next to each other having coffee. And right next to the coffee table, maybe having a scone, or maybe an exquisite pastry made by a blonde on the run. But you're talking heart to heart. I'm going to ask Chef Rene Sharoff to share heart to heart with you directly what the Lord would say through her to you. And maybe even a time of prayer for you, dear friend. It's a heartfelt moment with Chef Rene Sharoff. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you enjoyed this episode of The Good Life? We have hundreds of episodes ready to stream on demand. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com to find encouragement in business, relationships, athletics, and much more.
Hear me call.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
She says, the kitchen excites and energizes me. This is Chef Renee Sharoff. She strives to bring joy and satisfaction to high-end clients by pairing timeless elegance with modern energy. Chef Renee is with us now by phone in Boston, Massachusetts. She's actually on her way. She goes on a regular basis to Europe. She has clients in France. She's trained in Ireland. She has even had the opportunity to take her catering business, Blonde on the Run, onto a cafe of Cape Flyers as Cape Flyers gourmet chef. We'll talk about that in a few moments. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. I'm grateful that you're with us today. Chef Renee, now, you faced some challenges in your business early on. A heartbreaking moment with your best friend.
Yep.
But you endured. And it didn't go away right away. You went for years.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone right now who feels like self-doubt? Yes, they're in the middle of that. But they're just questioning whether they're going to make it. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them?
I would encourage them to stand on God's word, because it is the solid, absolute truth. And I told myself every day, besides the word of God, I said, failure is not an option. I woke up every day with that mantra in my head. Failure is not an option. And then that's what I would say. I would say, get a hold of God's word and walk in it and watch it unfold in your life.
You said your mother prayed for you. It sounded like you called her virtually every day.
Every day.
Okay. Maybe sometimes more than once a day, right?
100%.
Okay. Now, Renee, could you lead in a prayer like how your mom prayed for you? Could you pray for our dear listener right now who needs someone to pray for him or her?
Sure.
Please.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, Lord. I lift up any listener that might be discouraged, that might be going through something, and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They feel like their world, their bottom has fallen out. Lord, I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit right now to encourage them, to give them peace, joy, strength, a spirit of tenacity and perseverance. I thank you, God, that you are opening doors for them that no man can open, Lord. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your peace. Mm-hmm. We thank you for doing a work that no man can do except you. And we thank you, Lord, that they are going to know it was you. We pray a spirit of joy and contentment over their lives in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Pray a prayer from Chef Renee Sharoff, from a heart of understanding, a heart of compassion, a heart of victory. A lot of it is even her mom praying over her, mom reminding her of what the Word of God says. And even today, she reminds you, she reminds me, us, to hold fast on the Word of God, hold fast. Dear friend, the Lord loves you, the Lord knows you. And you might be listening today and you might say, well, Danny, Renee, you know, I don't know the Lord. I know of him. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him like the way you talk. You sound so close to him. They're such such a closeness, such an intimacy with God? Is it possible, you might ask, for me to experience that? And I think together we would clearly say, indeed, it is possible for you. That's why Christ came. We encourage you to open your heart to Christ. We encourage you right now to just, in a simple way, it's not a magical thing, just with the sincerity of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness, and I thank you for dying for me. Come into my heart, Lord. Take over my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender to you. I want to follow you. I want to follow your way. In the simplicity of that, dear friend, that's how you enter into a new relationship with God, through faith in Jesus Christ, who did it all on the cross for us. And he's alive. That's why you hear his voice today, the voice of the Lord touching your heart by his mighty Spirit. Now, Chef, you have done some work. I mean, you've been written up on in a feature article in the Boston Globe, Cape Flyers Gourmet Chef.
That's right.
Tell us about that. What is the Cape Flyer that goes, arrives and then goes off to Hyannis Transportation Center from Boston? What's this all about? What happens on that train?
Well, it's a super fun train. It leaves from South Station in the center of Boston. It's people love to go to the Cape, and it's a nightmare if you've ever driven from Boston to Cape Cod. The traffic can be terrible. You can be stuck on the highway for, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. So they created this train a few years ago that will be, from the center of Boston and takes you all the way down to the Cape. In Hyannis, where you get off and you can enjoy Hyannis. There's a main street. There's lots of shopping and restaurants. You also can walk. It's about a 10-minute walk to the ferry. And the ferries will take you to Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. Hmm. So we are the concessionaire on there. And it's been a great blessing and a great opportunity, which we are very grateful for.
Now, what are some memories that you have? Humorous, memorable, drastic, I don't know. What some memories that you've had on the train with some of the passengers, your clients?
Oh, goodness, so many. We've got great customers on the train. The clientele is super fun. All ages. We've got 20s to 70-year-olds on there, and they're usually people getting out of the city and taking the Cape Flyer down to the beach or to Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. And people are generally in a really good mood. They don't have to drive. They're not stuck in traffic, and they can get a great sandwich. We have all craft artisan products on the train. And so we're super excited to support other small businesses in Boston with their craft products. So it's a relaxing train ride. It's beautiful. We go, over bridges, and there's water on both sides, and it's just a relaxing ride. You can bring your bicycle, you can bring your dog, you can bring your family. So it's a great all-around adventure.
Chef, I'm very much a novice when it comes to fine cuisine. But how do you, I've seen and I've tasted some, and I've been graciously provided opportunities to enjoy. And sometimes when I look at these dishes that are, and the way they're presented, I marvel at that. And it makes me wonder how, and I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly, but how does it get created? How does food become art? What process do you go through?
That's a good question. Well, many processes to take the raw product. Usually it starts with a thought in your mind, right? You see something, you smell something, you travel somewhere, and you begin begin to create this dish in your head. And you just sort of pull all the different components together. And, you know, once you've been doing this for a while, you sort of understand what things go together, how they work. And then that's where all the fun and magic happens. You just start pulling different components of different dishes, different senses, different travel experiences. And your ultimate goal is to put them on a plate and make them beautiful. So beautiful to look at and beautiful to enjoy.
What is most fulfilling?
Oh, what is most fulfilling? In my professional, it would be cooking for people. People, you're feeding their soul, right? Mm. So I love to feed people. It makes them happy. It brings them joy. And it's a community. So you can sit down, regardless of your race, your religion, and you can enjoy a good meal, and everyone understands that. And I think it brings people together. Growing up, we ate family dinner every single night together. And so it's a sense of community. And I enjoy that. I enjoy cooking for people and hearing and looking and listening to their response. It brings me great joy.
Sometimes I wonder if in this day and age, number one, how many families still do that? I'm sure there are a good number of them, and I hope there are more than I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, that it's sort of a lost art of just the family dinner
every
night.
Right.
Yeah, don't you think? I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think it's a lost art, and everyone's so busy, right? The mom and the dad and everyone's got after school practice and homework and, you know, you're trying to excel and get ahead. And I think it is a lost art. It's a time of sharing and sort of coming together at the end of your day and saying, hey, what happened during your day, and enjoying a meal. And it brings a closeness to your family. Then I think when you're eating at all different times and sitting in the car and not really paying attention, that you don't really get from sitting across from someone and sharing a meal.
In the process, too, while you're sharing a meal, and sometimes when we're in the conversation, we're just in it, but we don't realize, we don't reflect often about it, but how in our conversation, there's progress. We go deeper. We talk about more transparently, more things that concern us. It's almost like the layers of an onion being peeled away, and we get to go deeper into each other's hearts. I mean, not every conversation is like that, but I'm thinking about this because of the double-edged sword of our handheld devices nowadays. Mm-hmm. And how we could be sitting on a table and we need to be reminded. I sometimes need to be reminded, others need to be reminded, hey, put the iPhone down.
That's,
you know,
right.
Let's have a conversation.
That's right. Yeah. There's a rule in my family home, my parents, when iPhones were very popular and, you know, they are as they are now, we would all be gathered at the table and we'd all be on our phones. And my mother would drive my poor mother crazy. And she made this rule that, you know, if you're coming to dinner at our house, then there are no phones are out. Like, you have to shut your phone off, put it in your bag, put it in your pocket, and I don't want to see it or else you're uninvited. So we learned quickly to put our phones away if we wanted our mom to cook us dinner, which we always do.
And for the person who didn't shut the phone off and put it on vibrate, you see them twitching from time to time because they felt it, and they want to go and want to see what message is there.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes we would give in to it, and then my mother would start yelling at us, put that phone down.
Now, Renee, Blonde on the Run, how did you come up with that name?
Well, there was a lot of caffeine involved. We just wanted, at the time when I was naming it, I wanted a name that was fun and that was unforgettable. So I feel like naming your business is like naming your child, right? And you want to give them the best outcome, the most positive vibe, right? And you want to sort of speak something over their life. And so Blonde on the Run Catering, it was, you know, super fun. It was catchy, and no one ever, ever forgets it. Mm. So goal accomplished.
BlondeOnTheRun.com. That's how you can find out more about Chef Renee Sharoff and her business. She is also like the co-founder of a magazine called The Gathering magazine. So when we come back, we'll talk about the magazine, The Gathering. What do they feature? I wonder if, tongue in cheek, obviously, if it has something to do with food. Maybe something even to do with fashion. But what's beneath all of that? Who else is being featured in that magazine? Those questions and others. Remember, blondeontherun.com. You can find out more about her and her services and her story. Amazing story of God's grace and God's love. A reminder to us of His love for you and for me. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Never miss our daily episodes on our podcast in iTunes. Just search for The Good Life Hawaii in iTunes or your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really helps promote the program, and we'd love hearing from our listeners.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. Chef Sharoff, you go to France on a regular basis, don't you?
I do.
What do you do when you go there, and where do you go exactly?
I go to Provence. I have a family that live in London, and they have a villa in the south of France. So I'm in the Var region. It's the hills of southern France, and it's usually in Fayence. And I go and I cook private dinner parties. Mm. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow. I would imagine you have some great plans even for your downtime, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. Yes, it's a lovely, lovely region to be at, and so it took me a lot of work to get here, but I made it, and so it's
you
super
it.
Fun when I get to go.
You made it.
I made it.
I sometimes wonder if you ever have to pinch yourself and think I'm really here, you know. I better take a picture, make sure, you know, to validate that I was actually here in this beautiful place.
Absolutely, absolutely, yep.
Now, your magazine. We've got just a couple minutes left, but talk to us about, The Gathering magazine.
The Gathering magazine was born. My sister Sarah. She owns One Fine Day in Connecticut. It's an event planning service. And I had a lot of requests for a cookbook or to publish the things that I was working on. And so in the chef's mind, food is instant gratification. So I thought, in my foolish mind, I thought, doing an online magazine will be much easier than actually creating a cookbook. And, you know, a book is a very daunting task. But I was very foolish in thinking that an online magazine would be easier. So we sort of embarked on this project, which has many great blessings and, you know, like any other business, lots of challenges. But we wanted a place where we could highlight food and family and entrepreneurship and inspiring stories. Mm. And so we created The Gathering magazine. And so The Gathering, just sort of bringing food and family and just gathering people, because I think at the end of the day, that's what's important. People want relationships. And so The Gathering magazine spoke to us about gathering people together.
Well, I've been online. And I've seen your amazing team, your publishing team, your photographer, your designer, your writers, and you've done that today with us here at the Good Life program. You've in the amazing way of grace that God has given you, you've gathered us together in this moment with your heart embrace. And for that, Chef Renee Sharoff, I want to thank you. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been such a pleasure.
And my dear friend, as you have listened today and we've had this time gathering together with Chef Renee, I hope that you've been encouraged. So you can find out more about her at Blonde on the Run. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, now this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up just for you. If you'd like to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of this glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Chef Renee Sharoff. Find out more at blondeontherun.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.